Good morning. I got to start off by saying that you guys sound excellent this morning. And you look good. And you look good. You guys are handsome. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. And you sound good. One of my joys in life. Hey. Don't show them all my stuff. One of my greatest joys in life as a worship leader is pulling people in to sing. And I love hearing you guys sing. That's something I love to hear. That's my goal, is to get more people singing praises to God. So it's so powerful to hear you guys sing. I want to start off by asking you this morning, how you living, church? How you living? Last Sunday, we had an incredible time looking through Ephesians. I love Mark Thompson and Leslie Thompson spoke. And they did a great job. So much to take away from that. And I'll tell you one thing. I will never, ever look at a Popeye's chicken sandwich the same way again. And there's some ulterior motives going on there because, you know, yesterday I went to this marriage class and the bakers did a great job. My wife and I got to go. You can give it up for the bakers. And we're sitting there and I'm like, you know, who do I want to sit? I sat next to Mark Thompson. This will be funny, you know? And then I smell this glorious smell. And I'm like, what is that? And so I kind of bend over and I look, and Leslie Thompson was eating a Popeye chicken sandwich. Today, we're going to talk about God's plan for righteousness. We're going to jump in to God's word. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. And in verse 1, we're going to jump in Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 20. The Bible says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. That's why we sang, give thanks to God, for he is good. That's why we sing, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, because we're putting this scripture into practice. Verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. It says, therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Aren't they fruitless, the deeds of darkness? But rather, don't have anything to do with them. Rather, expose them, is what the Bible says. It is shameful even to mention. You ever felt that way? I'm not even going to talk about this. What the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You feel like this? The days are evil? Yes. I know I do. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit as we did this morning. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Starts with Thanksgiving, ends with Thanksgiving. And guess what? It's November. You know, this passage starts off with this idea. It says, follow God's example in verse 1. I am partial to the 1984 NIV version on which I first read this, which said, be imitators of God. Right. Did you memorize it that way?
Yes.
Because that's how I memorize it. I still like follow God's example. It's saying the same thing, but be imitators of God, therefore. The way how, as dearly loved children, the way that dearly loved kids try to be like their parents is the way that we need to be an imitator of God. My wife Manami and I have two small children. My daughter Emmy is 3. My son Thor is 1. And they are dearly loved by you, so thank you very much. They're dearly loved by us. And one thing we love to do is to play with them. We love to take them out to the playground in Riverside Park and in Central Park. And we like to take them in our building. We have a playroom in the basement. And when it's getting really cold out now, we can't really go out to the playground. So we'll take them down to the playroom. And this one time, I was taking my daughter down to the playroom and my sons were going down there to play together. And my daughter was starting to play with different toys. They got a little fake kitchen down there. They've got some different things for them to play with. But instead of going to all those things, my daughter, I was watching her like, what is she doing? And there's these little tables with chairs and she starts rearranging stuff. And she pulls the tables out and she's only getting the chairs. And she starts to set up the chairs in a semicircle. And I'm like, okay, what's she doing now? So she sets up the chairs in a semicircle, and then there's these like foam blocks. And so she takes each of the foam blocks and she starts to put them out on chairs. And she says, Daddy, let's take turns singing to our audience. And while most kids will play pretend and maybe they're trying to be like animals, don't get me wrong, my kids do that too. Or they want to play good guys versus bad guys. My kids want to perform. My kids will go down to this playroom and they actually literally create a stage to which to sing from. And they go on to, you know, they've got an imaginary audience. That is their game. I like Thor over here. He's our little tech crew. Laying down the stage, just like the Time Center got a new floor. I don't have time to show you all the videos, and look at her face and the passion, and she'll just sing. I've got more pictures I'll show you. You know, I'm not sure where they got that from. I have no clue why. I never taught her to do that. I never said, here, put out a chair, make a little block and pretend it's a person. Why am I sharing that? Because kids imitate their parents. You know, this other time, I'm just minding my own business. I'm in my living room, and I grab my guitar. If you've been in our apartment, I have my guitars on the wall. And I pull a guitar down. I'm like, I just wanted to play a song. I just want a moment of peace and quiet, play a song, enjoy myself. The minute I start to play guitar at home, I hear footsteps running. And then all of a sudden, they come out with their guitars, and they run into the room. And so, you know, first, Emmy comes out with her little Elena of Avalor guitar, and she starts, like, strumming away. And then Thor don't want to be left out. So he gets this little guitar. He doesn't even hold it like this. He holds it like this and he goes like that. And obviously, again, where did she get that from? I don't know. You know, they are imitators. Dearly loved children naturally imitate their parents. They don't just imitate my wife and I when it comes to music. They imitate us when it comes to our faith. Kids imitate their parents' faith. You know, often my daughter will see me reading the Bible in the morning, having my quiet time, and she wants to come and sit next to me. And here she is drinking her coffee and reading her Bible. And then Thor, again, want to get in on the action. So they want to come sit next to me while I read the Bible. And at first I really struggled. I'm like, I can't pay attention. But then, you know, I realized faith is caught. It's not taught. When our children see us doing things that are faithful, they're just going to imitate what we do. She's not drinking coffee. She's not reading. She's 3. She can't even read. But she's having her quiet time reading her Bible. Now, I am proud of her. We just had a parent-teacher conference, and she actually can read certain letters. So she's very advanced for, I was going to, you know, brag a little bit on my daughter. She can read, you know, she can spell her name. But it's just funny because she does these things. It's like the saying goes, the apple. See, here's the thing. You look like your parents. You don't even have to try. And by nature, you imitate them. You look like your parents. You imitate them whether you want to or not. And that's why even as a parent, we have to be careful. Because there's good things that we do that they imitate. And there's bad things that we do that they imitate. You know, you've probably seen this clip from a little while ago. This little boy. And I'll just show it. Because he's imitating somebody. Listen, Linda. Where does he get this from? He's 3. He doesn't have back problems. I can imagine this woman's husband being, Linda, listen. But you're not listening to me. I can bet all my money that this kid learned it from his dad. And that's why we laugh. Now, it's funny. Maybe our relationship with our parents isn't so great. Maybe we have learned some things from their example that we're trying to unlearn. Like Al's example yesterday of the golfer. You know, you have to unlearn some things sometimes. Here's what's really cool. God is the perfect father. So we can have full confidence of following his example. You know, and we've got great parents, I'm sure, but all parents sin and make mistakes. But God is perfect. And God is 100% worthy of imitation. And that's why we can have confidence to be an imitator of God as his dearly loved children. You know, what is the basis that the scripture says? We're just in the first verse here. Why do we imitate? Because we are dearly loved. Why do kids want to be like their parents? Love. Who loves a child more than their mom and dad? Nobody. See, as we talk about God's plan is that you would live loved. That's what this is saying here in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. This morning, I want you to know God loves you. Don't you need to hear that sometimes? I know I need to hear it. When I make mistakes and when I sin, God loves you. You are his child, his dearly loved child. Whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, it's true. Here's what's really cool. All humanity are God's children. Even if they don't profess Christian faith, they are God's children, and God loves them. And see, while salvation is conditional, God's love is unconditional. God loves you dearly. God loves you so much, he was willing to die on a cross for you. God literally loves you to death. You ever heard that expression? But we use it and we exaggerate. But God really did it. Who else in your life can you say they've loved me to death? Nobody. Maybe. All right, I don't want to make any generalizations, but probably for most of us, we haven't experienced that kind of a love. Who else can you say that about? God loves you to death. But do you love yourself? Do you see yourself as lovable? Or are you guilt-ridden? You're God's dearly loved child. What if you lived like you actually believed that? If we internalize God's love, naturally it follows that we will imitate him. I don't have to tell my kids to imitate me. They just do it. See, we want to be like our daddy, our heavenly father. And what's really cool is we're dearly loved, not because of what we've done, but because what he has done. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. so we can have full confidence in this fact. You know, I remember the night that Emmy was born, my daughter. You know, you start off stories sometimes, it was a dark and stormy night. It literally was a dark and stormy night when my daughter was born. And we drove in the middle of the night, my wife's water had broken, and we drove in the middle of the night to the hospital in Morristown, New Jersey, and she labored for many hours. And I remember this moment when there was a certain amount of people in the room, and then all of a sudden, there was one more. And all of a sudden, we hear this baby cry. And I didn't know what to expect. I had a lot of anxiety and fears in becoming a new father for the first time. And I just remember weeping. We're all crying. I was crying. Manami's crying. You know, my mother-in-law was crying. Everybody's crying. And Emmy's screaming, ah, you know. And to describe to you, if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. To describe to you the amount of love that we felt in that instant, instantaneously. She didn't do anything. In fact, she was really slimy and she looked like a little alien. And they just plop, you know, you got the mom, the contact, you know. All the mom wants to do is hold the baby. I don't care how slimy and gross you are. I just want to be close to you. That is how God feels about you. He loves you. He wants to hold you. He wants you to want him. He wants your time, your heart, your focus, your devotion. And see, when we live loved, we'll walk in love. We sang, walk on, walk on, walk in the light that leads you home. That's what the scripture says in verse 2, that we will walk in love. We'll love the others around us. That God's love for us will pour out of us to others. See, how you treat other people is an indicator of if you're living loved. So if you want a practical, do I know, am I living loved? Well, how do I treat the people around me? Are you rude? Are you mean? Do you snap at people? Are you short with them? Are you condescending? Do you poke at other people's insecurities to make yourself feel better about yourself? That's a big one. Or are you secure in God's love? We got to live loved. When we live loved, there are things we won't do. Things that are improper for imitators. It says later on in the passage that these things are improper for God's holy people. If you're imitating, it's improper. Sexual immorality, impurity of any kind, greed. We focus a lot on the first two, but guess what? Greed is looped in there. Greed is a big deal, and we got to look at that. The Bible says not even a hint of these things. Shouldn't even look like you're doing it. That's the standard of holiness that God has for his children. Sexual immorality and purity get more attention. What about greed? Especially in the city we live in. These are improper. You know, we can say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. He goes on, he says, obscenity. Saying obscene things, foolish talk. You know, we live in a society where it's all about my rights. There's some things it's just foolish to talk about. The Bible says just don't even talk about it. What's the point? Say only what is useful in building others up, that it may benefit them according to their needs. Before you say something, do you ask yourself, is this going to help that person? It says coarse joking, sometimes at the office. Or at our place of work, we think, hey, you know, it's okay. I laugh at a little dirty joke. I tell a little dirty joke. We're around the water cooler. Not a big deal. God says no. The NLT says this is not for you. Not for you, right? You ever seen those signs? What is proper for us, the Bible says, Thanksgiving. Hallelujah, right? Turkey. Cranberry sauce. No, not just the turkey and the tryptophan, but having the attitude of gratitude. What is proper for God's dearly loved children is that we're grateful for what he does for us. You know, in the daytime arts ministry, which Manami and I lead, you know, we love this group so dearly. They're so incredible. We've been studying out emotions in the Psalms, and we've been studying out how to manage our emotions. And we took some time at a recent time of praise and worship just to pray prayers of thanksgiving, just to break out and stop and sit together in small groups and say thank you to God. You ever done that with a group of people? Just spent time not praying for things you want, not praying for things you think you need, not praying for all the anxiety and the issues that you have, but saying, God, you know what I need. Let me thank you for what you've done. You know, prayers of thanks. This is proper, is what the Bible says. It says immoral, impure, greedy. The Bible says those things are idolatry and that these people have no inheritance in God's kingdom. Now, here's the thing. People try to do these things, and that's why it says don't listen to them when they're making excuses. People try to make excuses and rationalize why it's okay to do these things. And that's why it says don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. They rationalize why it's okay. I can live in immorality and be a Christian. I can live in impurity and be a Christian. I can live in greed, not share with others around me out of my excess, not give back to God, not give to the poor. I can do that and be a Christian. And people deceive with empty words. And the Bible says, don't believe them, not for a second. The Bible says, don't even partner with them because that's darkness. The Bible says, you used to be in darkness, now you're in the light. So live as children of the light. That's God's plan, that we live in light. And you can write down Ephesians 5, 3 through 14. Look back at it. Study it out on your own. Children who are dearly loved, live in the light. You know, the fruit of the light, it talks about goodness, righteousness, truth. These things characterize those who walk in the light and live as Jesus did. And then what I love is verse 10. Such an overlooked verse. Such an overlooked concept. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. We spend so much time on what pleases us. What are you more concerned about? What pleases yourself? What pleases somebody else? Or what pleases God? Have you ever thought, what pleases Christ here in this situation? Am I pleasing Christ with what I'm doing? With how I live? Or am I pleasing me? See, God has feelings too. I'm a parent. Sometimes you feel like, I'm a person too. I got feelings. I get tired. You know, you can feel like they're just, I want this. Daddy, I want a yogurt. Applesauce. They want things from us all the time. Can you imagine how God feels? He's like, I just want to be loved by you. What pleases God? I'll tell you what pleases me as a parent. When I ask my kids to do something and they do it. You know what that's called? Obedience. It's a foreign word. I was down at the ring. Some of the brothers know where I go. And I was down there and this guy that I'm becoming friends with, and my daughter was down there. And I was like, she was making like a sand angel in the sandbox. I'm like, no, stop. Because I know I have to clean that all up. And she keeps doing it. I'm like, Emmy, are you going to obey? And he starts laughing his head off. He's like, I haven't heard that word in a long time. He said, I might need to tell my sister about that word with her kids. People with their kids don't use the word obey. What an important word. It's not a dirty word. It's a good word. And it is a beautiful word if you are a parent. It says, don't have anything to do with the deeds of darkness. We got to expose them. We can feel bad in our day and age, in our time, and as millennials and as different people that live in the culture we live in, the idea of outing somebody or exposing darkness. But the Bible says that's what we need to do. I would rather Emmy come and tell me that Thor is about to jump out the window than her say nothing to me at all. We expose deeds of darkness and we shine light on it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about darkness. We get curious about what's in the darkness. Like, what's in there? Our curiosity gets the best of us. And too often we let ourselves be exposed to evil. Rather than exposing evil and sin for what it is, we get wrapped up in it. And we let our curiosity get the best of us, and we jump into things. Because there's a lot of darkness in this world. I think we can agree on that. Here's the thing is, there's one place that's kind of a place that is exceptionally dark right now. And that place is social media. You know, it's interesting to me that the first letters of immorality and greed, or idolatry and greed, it spells what? IG. Which also spells what? Instagram. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Instagram is evil. I have an account. I like Instagram. There's a lot of good and positive content online. and on social media, but there's also a lot of darkness. Whether we're talking about Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, this is just an example, you know? There's a lot of good, but there's also a lot of bad that we get wrapped up in. And we end up exposing ourselves to a lot of filth online. Things come up on our feed without us having a say in what we see. And all of a sudden, that's in my brain and in my heart. And I've had a practice, if I start to see something, I just unfollow right away. It is not worth my purity to follow somebody else for no good reason, right? You know, moral filth is that which is immoral, and greed is excessive desire for wealth or possessions. You see any of that on Instagram? People showing off what I got? There is a lot of idolatry online. In his book, Letters to the Church, Francis Chan writes that people are used to being God of their own blogs and Twitter accounts. People have erected their own shrines on Facebook and Instagram, filled with beautiful pictures of themselves. See, our profiles can become temples to ourselves if we're not careful. For people to come and worship. As we talk about idolatry, we got to be wary of the traps of social media. You know, one trap is comparison. We see all the things that we don't have and all the things that somebody else does have. And that idolatry and the greed kicks in. And you got to ask yourself, where does that come from in my heart? You know, when we get caught in comparison, they've shown it leads to anxiety and depression. And I really admire certain people that do things like social media fasts and say, you know what, I just need to get off this for a while. Again, social media is not evil. It is a great tool, and I appreciate our media team that's meeting today, trying to use it for the gospel. It's just something to watch and be careful of, because anything that can be used for light can also be used for darkness. One interesting phenomenon of social media is the concept of the influencer. Anybody follow any influencers? We have some great influencers in here. You know, it's cool. People want to be an influencer, right? I would love to be an influencer, right? People send you free stuff, right? And then you wear it, and in wearing it and posting about it, you do a little review, you get free stuff, they get to market a little bit. It's a genius grassroots marketing thing, right? It's not evil. I'm not saying influencers are bad, not evil. You know, we've got some great influencers in our church even. But here's the thing, you can influence people in a good way or a bad way. And we can also be easily influenced by celebrities when we follow their Twitter accounts or when we follow their Instagram profiles. What I am saying is, who is influencing you? Are we imitating God as dearly loved children, or are we imitating and being influenced by the world? Do you spend more time in the Bible looking at scriptures or on Instagram scrolling through pictures? You like that one? Is Jesus your number one influencer? When we're imitators of God, Jesus is our number one influencer. We just care about his blue check mark, not anybody else's. When we follow his influence, we will live in the light. And finally, verse 15, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We gotta live wise. See, God is giving you opportunities. Earlier in Ephesians, it talks about he's prepared good works in advance for you to do. God is giving you opportunities. God is giving you second chances to repent. For some of us, third chances, fourth chances, 77th chances, if you know the passage. God is putting people in your path for you to share with. Putting people in your path for you to serve. God's giving you opportunities. That's why the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity. I don't know about you, but I don't like missing opportunities. Do you like that? See, it's funny, when you're on social media, a new phenomenon, again, that happens is this idea of when you watch what other people are doing in their story and you're at home and they're not having a great time, you know what that's called? FOMO. If you don't know, now you know. FOMO is called the fear of missing out. Missing out on events, parties, good times, missing opportunities, hangouts with friends. And see, I'm concerned because sometimes we have more FOMO with the people in our friend group than we have with God. Do you have FOMO with God? Do you have a fear of missing out on your relationship with Him? Do you have a fear of missing the opportunity to get in His Word and have a quiet time each day? Do you have a fear of missing opportunities to see a miracle in your life? And this is a good fear, because there's good and bad fear. Do you have a fear of missing out on a faith-building experiences, that you'll miss opportunities? Are you afraid to miss out on living your best life in Christ? Since this is the God's Plan series, it's only fitting that I bring in Drake. Because another interesting acronym, and this one they've credited to Drake, this one is YOLO. And YOLO, it means, you like that? YOLO means you only live once. And I love this concept. Because here's the thing, you may never have another opportunity to talk to someone in New York City again. There might be somebody you see one day and you'll never ever see them another day in your life. Last week, I was riding the train up to spend some time with somebody, and I was on the 2 train. I was heading up into Harlem, and this guy was sitting across from me, and he had this big, really cool, kind of stylish bracelet on, fashion statement, but it said Jesus. And I was trying to figure out, how do I get in there and talk to him? And so I said, I really like your bracelet. And he said, thanks. And I said, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in God? He's like, yeah. And so I told him about the church. He said, I just moved here from Benin, from West Africa, about 2 months ago, and I'm looking for community. I may never see this guy again. What if I keep quiet? You know, Mike Tolliver used to say, a city is only as open as your mouth is. Who cares if this person thinks I look stupid? Right. I don't care about what you think, because I'm living to imitate my Father in heaven as a dearly loved child of God. Amen. My FOMO on miracles is greater than my self-consciousness. See, it's good to have FOMO with God, to say, I don't want to miss out, God. Don't give in to FOMO with the world. Just say YOLO. Don't give in to FOMO, just say YOLO. And if you're visiting with us, we're really big on the Bible here. We're trying to live it. We're trying to read it. We want to know it. We love God's word. It's important. God wants us to read it daily. But here's the thing about the Bible. You can study the scriptures all you want, but the scriptures were meant to help you live like Jesus. Amen. There's a group of people in the Bible called the Pharisees. They also knew the scriptures. They valued the scriptures. And they were really intent on following them line for line to the point where they created their own set of rules to try to not break God's law. You'd think, wow, that's a really great heart, right? And yet here's what Jesus said to them. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You know, what I'm not saying is don't read the Bible. I think it's the step above. It's read the Bible daily and then do what it says daily. See, we read the Bible so that we can be like Jesus. It's that simple. He is our influencer. He's the one who we follow. So let's imitate our Father as dearly loved children. We got to live loved, live in the light, and live wise. And so I ask you again, church, how you living? As we take communion right now, remember this idea. You are dearly loved. How do we know this? To what extent? Jesus, it says in verse 2 of Ephesians 5, that he gave himself up as a sacrifice for you. He traded places with you. He sacrificed his body on a cross for you. He loved you to death. He did this all so you can live love. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come before you right now so humbled, God, so grateful for the scriptures, so grateful for the book of Ephesians. God, we're grateful that we can be your dearly loved children. God, we're grateful for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, which enables us to be a part of the family of believers. And Father, we pray with everything in us, God, that we can imitate you. We just want to be like you. We just want to live like you and walk like you. We want to shine your light in the darkness. We love you and we pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.